if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. It is so good to gather together as a family. And we're able to do that in this country. We don't want to take that for granted. Thank you for the opportunity to have church here on a Sunday morning. We do pray your blessing on this congregation, your blessing on every life here and every life that is represented here for our family and our children and our children and their children. It's so beautiful. Holy Spirit, you are invited to be our teacher today. We need you to show up. We need to hear from you. We need you to take the truths that are in your word and plant them deep in our hearts so that they would bear fruit, because we need your peace like never before, the fruit of peace that only you can bring. And so how fitting that we are looking at those scriptures today. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So we do pray peace in this building right now, peace in this congregation, and your presence, your glory, and all these things we want to do today to bring you honor and glory. And so we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Welcome, church. Some of you not sure what to do. It's okay. It's okay. I pastor our everyday church in our thrift store in Tustin, and it's a huge blessing to do that. And so Pastor Drew is out of town for a good reason. Family need arose, and so he asked me if I could fill in and take over where we left off, which was to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And so after love and joy came peace. So it's all right. I'll take that challenge. Not quite remembering what that would entail, right? It's a little bit like when you say, you warn people, especially new believers, right? Be careful if you pray for patience. God's going to give you circumstances in which to exercise patience. So be careful if you're ever asked to preach on peace, if any of you are asked to do a sermon on peace. Guess what's going to come your way that week? So where I happen to be, and so a little bit of storytelling, but it is part of our history, the Inside Out Men's Home, the Inside Out Men's Home for Alcohol and Drug Recovery, which has been around for at least 20 years, right, has been for many years at an actual house in Santa Ana. We owned it for a while. We sold it a ways back with the provision that we could lease back the actual house. And so that's where the guys in the men's home have been living, and that's where I've been staying and accumulating at least almost 9 years, right? So I'm not really a hoarder, I can honestly say that, but I am a slow accumulator. So after 9 years, turns out I had stuff everywhere I could manage to put it, including we had a storage unit out behind. It became like my garage. So you know a little bit about me, and you know I'm going to work it into a sermon somehow, but it really fits. I have my garage out there where I work on my snowboards, and I repair and refinish my skateboards and all that, power tools and tubs full of equipment. What am I going to do with all this? We're moving, and I'm going to be moved into an RV trailer that, as you know, when you first walk in, oh, it looks like it has cabinets. Oh, they look perfect. You open them up, and they're that deep, and they're that shallow, right? It's like, you see a little plaque that says, not for actual use. Demonstration only. So, and here's the good news. It is good news and bad news. Good news is half of everything in the trailer actually works. Bad news is the other half doesn't work. It's really the truth. Every other light switch doesn't work. Every other light bulb doesn't work. Right? And there is no, as of yet, I'm not sure that there's any heating or there's any AC. So my first night was pretty cold. I moved in a radiator heater and it got better, right? But here's the most fun part of all of it. Well, okay, the first shower, the first morning. There's an electric heater that stays on and you have your little bit of hot water for your sink and your kitchen, but you have to hit a switch. It's in a funny place up over the oven. It has a little plaque that you got to get close to see. That'll turn on a propane heater to really give you hot water. Well, I didn't have that on. So as I'm fighting the shower, which is a little bit too small for me anyway, and the cold water just comes after about 45 seconds, you know. So, and I'm just thinking, this is awesome, you know. Peace. Let's talk about peace, right? And here's the funnest fact, and please don't feel sorry for me unless you want to. because it's a trailer that's meant to be pulled by a truck, it actually goes up on the end, and you take up a couple little steps, and the entire master bedroom has a 6-foot ceiling. And I'm 6'2¼" in my stocking feet, right? And that's no lie. So it is a lesson in humility. It's a lesson in humility. The worst part is trying to get my clothes because I have to try to look up to get them out of the closet. And so I don't have to be in the master bedroom that much, praise God. But yeah, so, and I'm laughing, right? I'm thinking all these little trials. The very second day I try to drive into work, I got to go a different way. There's a police vehicle blocking the very road I need to use. No, not good, you know, and I'm not handling all this so well. I can tell it now, and we can laugh together, and it's okay. This would be a very funny movie if you don't have to be the person it's happening to, right? If you get to watch all of this. And so, but I really pretty quickly said, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will use this. I'm very grateful that I get real-life sermon illustrations when I get the opportunity to preach. And so as much as it sets you at ease and we're having some fun with it, it really does fit into it. Because on the worst day, on the shower doesn't work day, I had a freezing night, and the 6-foot ceiling is still bugging me, and they blocked the road, and I couldn't get to work the way I wanted to get, so I had to go on the freeway. I get into my office, and I am able to make coffee. Thank the Lord for that. But all I did was I realized, oh, you know what, I have a new favorite song. I have a new favorite worship song, brand new. And I click on, you know, the YouTube, and it starts playing. It actually is called Honey in the Rock. It's from a scripture in Psalm 80, I believe. The very last verse says, I would give you the choicest wheat if you would just let me. I would bless your land. I would give you honey from the rock. And he's saying, not just hit it and some water comes out, even better than just basic provision, I would like the provision to be sweet if you would just receive it. And this great song comes on, and I toyed with the idea of singing a little bit for you, but I'm not going to. And it's not that important other than within 2 minutes of hearing these scriptural truths wash over me, of God's provision and God's answering a prayer, it came over me. Right? And you know what I'm talking about? Peace. Peace came over me. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for worship music. There wasn't a time I could always say that, by the way. I got saved in 1984, straight out of being a hard rocker in my high school, right? And so the first time I hear Christian music, I'm like, what? I didn't really love it immediately. And now, some of the most beautiful stuff. So today we're going to talk about peace. We're going to talk about peace. Also, I love the fact that God sets me up where I'm teaching at the Everyday Church is the book of Matthew, where I'm teaching on the Wednesday night class that we have in here on Wednesdays is in the book of Romans, and where we were just at in Romans and studied all week for it was Romans chapter 5. So Romans chapter 5 has been very special to me for a while. And it's really, Paul takes his time getting us there, but he basically now says, okay, now if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we're now talking to Christians, it's really the first time Paul is expressly talking to believers. And then he says, therefore, having been justified, your sins have been forgiven, right? Having been justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just love the way that verse washes over me. Knowing that I'm saved, knowing that what Jesus did on the cross to pay for my sins, dying on the cross, and me receiving him as Lord and Savior, God wants me to know, wants you to know, if you have done so, given your life to him, that he declares you not guilty, you're not going to pay for the sins that you've done, and he wants you to know he's no longer at war with you. You're no longer his enemy. And it's a big deal. You may not have realized it, but you were born into a tribe, the human race, that's at war and rebellion with God. So you were born into this rebellion. And so he has the desire, that's God the Father, to remedy that. Jesus came on our behalf as our great captain, one way to see it, right? Our great general. He came and surrendered on behalf of the human race. In pure obedience in his life and obedience to the cross. So God says, anyone who wants to now come and you want to ratify that treaty, sign the bottom, yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. you are now no longer an enemy or hostile to God. And I love that, right? So the beginning of this sermon really is that. It is the idea of peace. So I had three words. They're not going to come up on the board for various reasons. I'm going to do this kind of old school. I'm going to speak and speak from my heart and speak from the scripture. But words that came to mind and trying to convey how we can get peace into our life. Because what I actually want out of today, what I would actually like, and my prayer is that you and I have more accessibility and actually put into practice God's peace in our lives. God's peace in our lives. Because I think we know when we hear scriptures that talk about peace, that sounds good, right? And then we can even say, yes, I would like that. I would love that. Love, joy, and peace, I'm in. I want more of all three of those things. Well, what are some things we can do to maybe practically take a hold of that? So I'm hoping, it's ambitious, I know, but really hoping that some of this will really stick with all of us, me included. So many, many verses. If I gave you the assignment, let's say, preach on peace or do a sermon on it, and you start going through a concordance, you're going to find almost too many scriptures, right? It starts to overwhelm you in a good way. Wow. God's been talking about this for a while. It's His heart and His desire that we don't live our lives anxious, that we don't live our lives stressed to the hilt, right? And so we sang the blessing this morning, and the very end of that is, right, and may He bless you and keep you and have His face shine upon you and give you peace, give you peace. And the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. You've probably heard it. They use it as a greeting. We would have to take the whole message, which wouldn't be a bad idea, but we're not doing it today, to talk about what that meant for the Hebrew mindset. It wasn't just a ceasing of hostility, right? Like we would say, our nation is at peace right now, right? We're not currently at war. So cessation of hostility, right, is part of it. But for me to come and say shalom to you, or may God shalom be in your life, it meant blessing on you, your family, that your flocks would increase, that your grain, you know, that your fields would be ripe, that your life would be blessed with the presence and favor of God. So when that prayer and that song that we sang this morning, we're praying that over each other. We're singing that to each other. We're letting God sing that to us. He wants us to have that kind of peace. Yes, a cessation of hostility. I don't mean to just use words like that. You know, war finished, hostility over. But even better, now blessings flowing into your life. So I thought the first thing that we need, the thing that helps the most, is to understand our position. So that would be point one. Point one, know your position. Know where you stand as a believer. And so there is no better way than to know your Word of God, right? So a passage like Romans 5:1 that says, therefore, having been justified, you have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's straightforward said by God Himself, right? The Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, as we understand. And these are God's words to us. He wants you to know, I am considering you now, right, no longer an enemy. And it keeps getting better, right? Know your position. I think the best thing you can know about you, if you have given your life to the Lord Jesus, I hope you understand, I have to preface that often, but a position you have is no longer at war, and the positive side of that is you've been adopted. You've been adopted as sons and daughters. Amen? I mean, it's tremendous. Sometimes I have to look it up and read it again. Like, I know it's in there, and I got to just see it. But that's part of knowing your position. Know your position. There's no better way. I realize, you know, you come here on a Sunday morning, and I come here on a Sunday morning, and I hear what's spoken from the pulpit, and often it is a reminder to read your word. But I would just like to add to that, read your word. Read your Bible. Let it wash over you. I think of it like taking a shower. I love a hot shower in the morning. I need the Word of God to roll over me. One of the reasons we teach the class in Romans and we meet on Wednesday nights, you read Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 especially, and your position is being told you. It's washing over you, right? It's just astonishing. It says in Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. your sons and your daughters. You're no longer at war with God. You are no longer in the hostile camp. You have been declared right, and your sins have been forgiven, and even better, invited into the family, invited into the family business, invited into the family home. That's why Jesus, when he says, I go to prepare a place for you, that's family language. We're putting room additions on in heaven with each of your names on your own place. Right? You are being welcomed in with open arms. So to have peace in our lives, we need to know that. And so some, even me as I say it, might be thinking, well, isn't that obvious? Well, don't we forget that sometimes? Don't we just absolutely let the circumstances batter us around till we can forget? So I would encourage you to find some of these choicest scriptures that talk about that. Not just beautiful scriptures, like maybe your favorite out of Jeremiah or out of Isaiah, right, which are wonderful, but talking about places like Romans 5:1, like Romans 8:16, that let you know that you are at peace with God. You have been justified, your sins are forgiven, right? And you've been adopted as sons and daughters. And I like the way Romans 8 says that. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit. So if I want more peace in my life, I need to let him do just that. He wants to testify in my heart, right, that I'm adopted. So I need to listen. So no better place than the Word, because it's jumping right off the page and the Holy Spirit can apply it to your heart. And of course, spending time with God, time in prayer. And so know your position. Now for some people, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, so some that are here maybe, some that are home maybe, you need to settle your position. Settle that. You can't just let that go. There, you don't have the rights of an adopted child if you haven't let him adopt you. You are still in hostility with God if you haven't come and surrendered. And that's one way I like it a lot. For me, it helps a lot. The humility that would be required for me to come and say, God, forgive me. I surrender. I no longer want to run away from you. I want to move my life towards you. And that's a form of surrender. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. And you are justified. The gavel comes down, not guilty. And it rings from all eternity, both directions, past and future. And he says, so no, come on in. A beautiful verse that comes right after that in Romans 5:1 says, also to our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, we have our introduction through faith, our introduction into this grace in which we stand. And I was telling the guys and gals on Wednesday night, it's like the gates to the kingdom of God, the gates to the city, the gates to heaven, all that open. And Jesus Christ himself invites you in and gives you access to the Father, gives you access to the King. You now get to come. Jesus is our introduction. So from there on out, when you give your life to the Lord and you let Jesus usher you into this new life, this new realm, I love it. It's just into this grace in which we stand. Grace is the very flooring you're standing on. And I was saying the other night, it's the air you're breathing, grace. It's the coinage. It's what you do business in the kingdom of heaven is grace. You know, grace is favor from God that you didn't earn. He just gives it to you. So you need to know your position and remind yourself of your position. So you are here. I am preaching to the choir in many ways. You're letting the Word of God wash over you. So it is exactly what I'm talking about. But on your own, find some verses. It was no coincidence that God really put it on my heart just before my eye surgery when I was going blind in one eye, which is never enjoyable, by the way. Never. I'm going blind in my eye. And so for a long time, I couldn't read. And I had to have an operation to reattach my retina. And the Lord had put it on my heart to memorize Romans 5:1 all the way through 8. And so because I couldn't read and I had to stay face down for one full week, face down with my face in a massage chair. Can't sleep on your back, can't sleep on your side as the retina is being reattached. You know, the miracle of our own bodies is doing that work. And so I was rehearsing the scriptures that the Holy Spirit had put on my heart. So awesome of God to do that for me. and understanding. And a little bit farther in Romans, and I knew I would take some, not detours, but a little bit farther, it just comes washing over. He says, and you know how we can trust that we have been forgiven, justified, that we are at peace, no longer at war, that we have been adopted? He says, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's the first time love is mentioned in Romans, all the way on Romans 5, 8. Right? God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So let the Word of God remind you of your position. Your position is forgiven and adopted and beloved. It isn't easy always. I'm guessing everyone in here could say, I don't always feel beloved. I know myself too well, but the Scripture teaches it, and the cross speaks it every time you see it. That's how much he loved you, that he went and died for you personally, right? Gave his all for you. So know your position, and you find yourself struggling with peace, right? One of the things, the first place to look at is, am I remembering? Am I holding on to? You're holding on to the truth that you're a beloved son or daughter. Amen? So the second word I had, well, first word was position, was the word place. So I did do that kind of preacher thing, by the way. It's three P words, position, place, and posture. I actually tried not to. It just kind of came out that way. So know your position, and then the idea of find or take, whatever, you can pick your verb. Find or take your place. Find or take your place. So the best way for me to explain that, right, is to talk about exactly what I told you. I had that very bad first morning in my new abode, my new dwelling place. And when I got into my office, I found my place. I knew exactly what I needed. I needed to hear a worship song. And I turned that on, and I settled into that place where I remembered God's provision. And that looking forward to how this new living situation is going to be better for me. I really believe it. And I am, by the way, already seeing that. It's not, no one needs to feel sorry for me other than the 6-foot ceiling. Other than that, right, there's many things that are wonderful about my new living situation. So, but I found my place. So I couldn't think of a better scripture. Jesus, in one of the most beautiful passages, and there's so many, in Matthew chapter 11, here was the other non-coincidence of my week. I was in Romans chapter 5, we talked about now, and I was in Matthew, and I came upon Matthew chapter 11 because we were going through 9, 10, and 11. And just 2 days into my new living place, still wrestling with my circumstances, Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And what do you say? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Isn't that a good definition of peace? Soul rest. Soul rest. So I know my position quite well. Praise God. I hope that didn't come out wrong. God is constantly reminding me. The Holy Spirit is constantly reminding me because I have an extra special job and that I get to read the Word a lot and I'm teaching it. So I know I'm justified. I know I'm at peace with God. And I know I'm adopted. But my place can get disheveled, right? And this moving situation has me a little out of whack. So what did I do? I go, I know where a song that's blessing me is. And I hit the YouTube. The internet can have some good things in our life. And I find that song, Honey in the Rock. And within less than 3 minutes, I'm settled. I'm settled like a beautiful baby put down in a bassinet, right? My position had been fine the whole time, but I had gotten out of place. I had let the waves of the circumstances and the moving get to me. And so I came unto Jesus. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest for your souls. Jesus gives the invitation. I think we should take him up on it. Come to him. Come to him often. So just as soon as we realize, and I can put it on me, but hopefully you are joining me in this. As soon as I realize, oh, this has got me. This is stressing me out. Right? Let go of it and press into him. Someone once wrote, he said, it was one of the guys like St. Francis of Assisi who loved nature, and he got a lot of ideas about his spirituality from it, and he realized what the little finches, the little birds that lived like in the brushes and the bushes around him, they lived in the bushes. They had their little nests buried in the really thick kind of bushes. But they'd be running about their business, looking for food, looking for worms, doing their thing. But just as soon as any kind of disturbance, a crow or something that could threaten them, they could flutter like just quick as could be, and they were in their nests, and they were way in the bush where they couldn't be got. And then they'd come back out, and they're doing their thing, and just as soon as something caused them unrest, you can do that. There's no time required to come to Jesus. See what I'm saying? You just do it instantly. Figure that out. If I could give you one little hint, one little thing to, hopefully you'll get a lot of this, but if you could get a little hint, Holy Spirit, show me how to flutter back to the nest in a moment's notice. Get me? Flutter back to that nest, to that settled place, right, where Jesus, you've done what Jesus said. Come unto me. I know you're burdened and heavy laden right now. I want to give you soul rest. Oh, Jesus, I need you right now. And the stress. Oh, Jesus, I need you right now. And we can say it. And say it even, you don't have to say it out loud. And I'm telling you, it's been a huge help in my life. Not just now, but probably the last 7 years, I learned this lesson. And I'm keeping fresh on it all the time. Flutter back to my place that I have, which is in the arms of Jesus, right? Makes sense? So you do have to know your position. You should know your Bibles. You should know what it actually says. You understand what justification by faith means. It means you believe and he says he forgives your sins. You need to be able to hold on to that. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, I would say settle your position. And you can do that today. You can do it in a prayer. We'll pray at the end of this message. And then you find or take your place. Soon as you realize, right, the stress will tell you. The lack of peace that you're feeling will tell you, I got back to my place, back to my place. And the last word I have is posture. Know your position. You're an adopted son or daughter of the King Most High. You find your place in the arms of Jesus, right, in that place of rest, that soul rest. And then adjust your posture. So I had a little bit of fun with this. But the idea is simply what we're doing with in a sense, my body language. My body language. I can know my position. And you can think of it like it's head knowledge. I understand I'm adopted and God loves me. And I found my place. You can think of that as maybe the emotion of it. But still, I'm worried about where I'm going to put all my things. Oh, I don't like that the freeway's blocked right now. Right? I find myself, and if you were to look at my posture, I may be somewhat in my place, but I'm bent over. I'm holding on to things. I'm holding like this. And I realize, I need to let it go. That's how you adjust your posture. Again, it may seem kind of simple. Maybe said a lot of times, but it's very real. If you can do this, I know for me, right, it works. Something like 1 Peter 5:7, as an example of how to do this, says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Think of it that way. Use some body motion. People already think I'm a little kooky, so I don't care. If they're standing next to me and don't know what I'm doing, you may see me go, I'm casting my cares, right? Jesus, you said give this to you, so I'm giving this to you, right? And again, I know I need it because I feel myself, right? It's in there. I'm holding on to this. I'm worried about the new place. I got to still get my furniture out of the old place. What am I going to do? Wait. You know what? Cast all your anxiety. He cares for you. You can also think about Philippians 4:4-6. Right? At the end of that where it says, present your request to God. Right? The idea is there's the same thing. Use some body motion in it if you have to, or if you do it in your mind, it's fine. There's a Mercy Me song. And I may have mentioned this before, but just a simple little line. He says, you were never meant to carry this beyond the cross. I may have even said it in a sermon. I love that. All right, think about it, if the cross was standing right here. We're going to come up and we're going to go past it. You know, we're going to ask for the help, but just keep carrying it. No. You were never meant to carry the burdens farther than the cross. Isn't that good? So know your position. Know what the Word teaches about you, that you are beloved and you are forgiven and you're a son and you're a daughter, right? The hope of heaven is yours. And then remember then further to get it settled in your heart. See yourself in the arms of Jesus or in a bassinet, however you want to look at it. It took me a while to be able to picture myself jumping into the arms of God, but I do it now. I find and take my place. I respond to, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. That means Jesus is saying, I'll shoulder the brunt of the burden. I'll take most of the weight off of you. So, of course, to take his yoke upon you, you have to get close. You got to come. You got to answer his invitation. And then adjust your posture. That's the small things. That's the, the freeway entrance is blocked, you know. And then, okay, I don't want to hold that any longer. I don't want to hang on and mill it over or be anxious about it a second longer than I need to. Just as soon as I feel this in my spirit, in my soul, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to cast this anxiety on you, right? I'm going to present these requests to you by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. And what does it happen to say? And the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will guard your place and your position, if that helps. So a little bit of a physical demonstration in terms of remembering this. You're going to know your position, right? You're going to take your place, your emotions, and you're going to adjust your posture. Let go, and that allows you to what? Receive. It seems simple, but it's really true. When we're hanging on to the things, sorry, get extra volume that way, right? You can't take what someone wants to hand you next. So you let it go. Okay, God, I need to give this to you. You say I can. I'm going to take you up on that offer. And so then it's much easier to receive. I'm not stressing out anymore over it. Amen? Amen? So where it says, right, it says you walk by the Spirit. That's what this whole series of messages is on. You won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. But, and then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, what God's going to produce in your life, what's going to come out in your life organically when you're walking by the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. And you can help, just like a farmer can help a fruit tree by putting it in good soil, know your position, right? Adding the water and the fertilizer, if you want to say fine and take your place, right? And proper pruning and care in terms of letting go and opening up to God. And so then the Holy Spirit is moving through you. He's reminding you your position. He's reminding you of the dear place that you have in the arms of Jesus. And he's helping you remember, let go of all that little stuff. Let go of those frustrations. And I do know there's a huge difference in my life. Huge difference in my life. I have two great examples. I have up to the age of 24 when I wasn't a believer and all the mess I made in my life then. Talk about no peace. No N-O peace. No peace. Gave my life to the Lord at 24 years old in 1984 and followed hard after God for a good amount of time. That's when I went to Bible college and was involved in ministry. And I messed it up. I prodigaled. I went out. I left my father's house and squandered what he had given me. And so I got to the place, it took about 10, 12 years total, where I was out of joy, I was out of love, there was no peace. So I know what it's like to be a believer and to have forgotten my position and stopped taking my place, and my posture was a mess. I mean, I was just Quasimodo by the time I came into the men's home. I dragged myself to the door of that place, and it's the truth. So I'm so thankful. Amen. So thankful for the peace that I have in my life, for the love and the joy and the peace that come from God and God alone. There is no other source. People want to say, well, couldn't you, God, you know, couldn't you just make the circumstances better? Couldn't just the happiness come, you know, in these ways like winning the lottery and, you know, an extra blessing from the IRS? And, you know, that's not really going to do it. You know why? Because Jesus himself is your peace. Jesus yourself is your strength and your love and your joy. He doesn't have any other joy to give you. Like he's just going to open up a book and just kind of pass it out, right? I don't know if that helps you. It was C.S. Lewis that helped me see it that way. So people who don't know God, they wonder why. They pray every now and then and it doesn't seem like much is happening. They really don't want Jesus in their life and they're not really willing to surrender and jump in his arms. So in a sense, you know, there's not that much that can be done with your bad decisions and your bad circumstances. Conversely, you give your life to Jesus. He's your Lord and your Savior. Then He will, if you'll let Him, He will remind you of your position. And He will help you stay settled in that place. And the occasional posture adjustments to let go and let Him be that peace in your life. Amen? Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Thank You that all of this, everything that's in the Word of God, is because You love us. It's Your desire that we would know You personally and that we would know Your peace in our lives. Holy Spirit, You want to work this in us. So I pray today a blessing on this congregation, like we sang, Your favor upon everyone that's here and our families. And Lord, that we would hear Your voice today and we would know the position that we have with You. And if we haven't settled it, we'd settle it right now by asking You to be our Lord and Savior, forgive us of our sins, come into our life and save us and adopt us, we pray. And help us, Lord, each in the daily struggle as we get a little bit out of place, a little bit out of sorts, and our posture gets a little bit messed up, that we restore that quickly, that we come back to You as fast as possible and let You work that peace in our lives. So a blessing of shalom and peace on everyone here today, all for Your glory and all in Jesus' name. Amen.